that Jesus is your help. Jesus is my help. Jesus is my help today. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. You can make your way down, choir. Amen. We praise God for all of you today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We come to you today knowing that Jesus is my help. Amen. How many know that you know that you know? Brother Henry, you were singing it. You got to know that you know that you know. You can't go on what other people tell you. You got to know for yourself. And I know for myself that Jesus is my help. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for life, health, and strength. You said in Psalms 91, 1 through 4, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. Father, we come to you. Some come worn and weary. Some come, Lord, seeking shelter. Some come, Lord, to find security and rest. But Father, we know that you are mighty God. And there is no circumstance that is a match for your great power. So we thank you for our safe place in you. We thank you for being a fortress that we can trust. We thank you because we know that you can save us from any trial and tribulation. And while we wait patiently for you to work on things and work it out for our good, you have always been faithful. And we are resting your faithfulness. Father God, when I open my mouth, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. We ask that you do this in the precious and mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Let everyone say amen. Can church say amen again? Amen. We praise God for all of you today and for being here in our service. And listen. This is our fifth round of our Fearless series. Amen. And our scripture text today is coming from two scriptures that we're just going to pull out and focus on this morning. And that's from Philippians chapter 4. And we're just going to look at verses 13 and 19. Amen. Amen. I don't have time to preach the whole scripture, so I'm just focused on these two verses. Is that all right? Yeah. Amen. 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 And the first one is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And it reads this. I am able. to make it through a pandemic. I am able to go on another day. I am able. Let me preach now. Listen. I am able to do some things. Oh, I got some readers in the house. I got some readers in the house. I am able to do all things through him who is him, Christ. Amen. Through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. That's a different version. Amen. I was going King James on y'all. I can do all things through Christ who gives. That's King James version. Amen. That's the Christian Standard Bible version. It's all right, but I'm going King James today. Amen. Because that's in my spirit. And then 19 says, and my God, King James says, shall supply all my needs. That's King James. Again, he's taking it personal, Paul said. You got to take this thing personal. You got to take, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches, which is in glory in Christ Jesus. Is that enough? That's enough. Y'all better sit down. Y'all trying to mess me up. You better mess me up. Listen, listen. We got to understand. We got to understand this is our fifth and hopefully our final week of our Fearless 20 and 2021 series. Amen. Fearless in 2021. Amen. Y'all give Brother Mike some more encouragement who came up with our graphic design today. Amen. Praise God for you, Brother Mike. The whole family got to be fearless. Amen. Not just mom and daddy. The kids got to learn how to. Some of our kids going into COVID contaminated buildings. And if you haven't went to that building and put some anointing oil over the doorpost, you better go do it now. Amen. I anoint the doors when my kids go to school. Because I can't be there, but God is always there. Amen. So we got to learn how to move fearless in 2021. And today, for our topic for today, is fearless in 2021, even if it gets hard. Even if it gets hard, we got to still learn how to be fearless. Our text today provides a sure foundation for optimism and to be hopeful. We should be the most optimistic people on the face of the planet. I'm not talking about a Pollyanna avoidance of challenges. I'm talking about a deep confidence that nothing can happen that is beyond the control of the all sufficiency of God. I'm talking about an optimism based on God's plan and his watchful care for our well-being. God ain't gonna let nothing come on you that shouldn't be. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Are you looking forward to the days ahead with confidence? Are you looking forward to the days ahead with hope and optimism? Can you see past the political uncertainties, past the pandemic threat, past the economic challenges? Can you look past all the heartache and pain? And can you still sit back and say, it is well with my soul? Can you still say that regardless of what's going on CNN, on Fox National News, what's going on in the Capitol? Can you sit back at the end of the day and say, it is well with my soul? Yeah. If Paul was with us today, he would be excited about the opportunities before us. He would express a biblical optimism about the weeks and the months ahead. His optimism would be very different from that of the world. Paul was able to see a little bit differently than the world could see. And the hopes and expectation of the world is standing on shaky ground right now. They got us excited about a vaccine, but now they ain't got enough. But now they want to produce another vaccine, but not as potent as the first vaccine. So who that vaccine for? Just something to think about. But Jesus is my help. I'm trying to help somebody right now. The world is built on unsure foundation, but my hope is built on nothing less, did I have a witness in the building, than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Scripture often contrasts the hope of the righteous with the hope and the expectation of the wicked. Can I look at Proverbs 10? The hope of the righteous will be gladness or joyful, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright. So I need to stay in the way of the Lord. I need to stay in the pathway of the Lord. I need all my steps ordered by the way of the Lord. And if I do, my way is going to give me strength. Where? In the Lord. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquities. That's what the Bible tells me. Now we know that all this happens in God's timing. Sometimes the wicked person look like they doing well. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. For a time, their devices look like they prospering. You look at them, you know they ain't going to church, but every time you turn around, they got a new car. They got on new stuff. They got this. They done got that. Amen. But no, don't ask them how they get it. Amen. I'm just trying to say what I'm saying. Amen. 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 But in the end, all that flash in the pan will perish. The wicked's expectation tends to fail. Their optimism proves to be unfounded. And like Haman, the snare that you put out for others will turn out to be the snare that hangs you instead. And therefore, we are instructed in Psalms 37 and 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Why? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. God always got the last word. I'm trying to help somebody. Our scripture reading from Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 20 was read earlier by my sisters this morning. Amen. But I'm just going to focus on 13 and 19. Amen. Today, we're going to deal with two assurances that are laid out in these scriptures. The first is found in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the second one is these are sure foundations. These are assurances. This is what you can put in your spirit. If you don't know any other scripture in your life, get this in your spirit today. Amen. If all you know is Jesus wept, add these two to your Jesus wept, and you'll be good. You'll be good for salvation. Amen. Amen. Add these two to it. Listen. If you're looking for a verse to memorize, to put in your heart that you may not sin against God, these are the candidates to provide for us a firm foundation for unshakable optimism every day that you wake up. If you just say these two verses, when you wake up in the morning, your day will be different than any day you had before. We got to understand. These are assurances from God. These are victories from God who put their trust in him. It is a peace of mind, and it will sustain us for the rest of our lives. These are truths out of the word of God. To be fearless in 2021, even if it gets hard, verse 13 assures us of the strength needed for any situation God leads us into. Notice what I said. Any situation God leads us. You do know your steps are ordered by the Lord. So nothing you go into catches God by surprise. Hello. You might be surprised, but God is never surprised. So no matter where your feet go, God already know you're going to be there before you got there. Shut up, straight horn. We got to clearly understand that God got your back. No matter where you go, where you find, even when you are contrary to God himself. When God told you to go left, you say, I'm going right. God still is there when you go to the right. Get this in your spirit. Ah, put your name here. Do all things through Christ who strengthens. You got to get with me now. I, James Strayhorn, can do all things through Christ who. Y'all better get with this. Y'all better get with it. Say it under the mask. Say it under the mask. I say your name. This is like when you go get in the army and they tell you to raise your hand and they say, I say your name. You better say your name. You better make it personal. I can't say it for you. I can't say it for you. You got to say it for yourself. I'm going to say James Strayhorn. Amen. Can do. I don't know what you can do, but I know what I can do. James Strayhorn, can do all things through Christ who strength. I felt that. Somebody said, Pastor, give me one more chance to say it so I can put my name in. All right, I'm going to give you a chance. This is your chance right here. Right now, everybody in unison, you ready? Let's go. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wait a minute. Some folks at home said they wasn't ready yet. So you at home, I need y'all to get ready. Get up out the bed, stand up on your feet. Let the Lord know you're talking to him right now. Let him know, I dare you to make a commitment. I dare you to stand up and make it a declaration. I dare you to stand up and make it a vow unto the Lord. I dare you to stand up and let the Lord know, I'm standing right here, God. I'm going to pronounce myself to be able to do what you said I can do. I ain't talking about what I can do. I'm talking about what you said I can do. I ain't talking about my power. I'm talking about on the power of God. So if you're at home right now, you need to get up off that bed, get up off that couch, stand up on your feet, and get ready to say it again. Say it again. You ready in unison? Everybody ready? Go. I, James Strayhorn, can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? I just felt hell shake. I just felt some trembling under my feet. Because another child of God just woke up and found out where they help come from. This is a reminder of the source of our strength. It is only through Christ that Paul's statement is even possible. Christ is the one who gives the strength, and we abide in him. Without him, we can't do nothing. Nothing. You can't do nothing without. Oh, I felt that. Oh, Pastor, really? Yeah, really. Okay, let's go to John 15, 4 through 8, when he said this. Abide. He said, abide in me. Huh? Can I get away? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said it very clear. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them where? Into the fire. And they what? Burn up. Some of us wondering why we tired all the time and feel burnt out. Are you tied into the source of your strength? Have you tapped into the Jesus Christ who has all power of heaven and earth in his hand? Huh? But he said this, if you abide in me, and my word, y'all see that little extra stipulation? If you abide in me and my word, because there's power in the word, and my words abide in you, y'all don't believe me, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. You ain't doing it for you. You doing it for the glory of God. Oh, Jesus. It is a violation of Paul's interest to employ this verse without the means of Christ. Amen. The assumption behind the verse is submission to Christ. Paul expressed his attitude of submission when he said in Philippians 3:12, when he said, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. His whole life was a pursuit of God's will for his life. Paul said, all I want to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified and the power of the resurrection. We got to remember what's written in Ephesians 1-3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It is in Christ that we are blessed. Tell somebody you ain't blessed on your own. Tell them you ain't. I don't care what you got, it still came from God. Oh, I work hard, Pastor. I pull my own self up by my own boot. Look, if God didn't give you the bootstraps or the strength, you wouldn't be pulling nothing. We gotta understand. All that we see from God comes through Christ. When we are submitted to Him, when we are abiding in Him and His word abide in us, then we can ask with confidence and receive whatever we ask for. God has a plan for you and me, and as long as we follow His plan, He will empower us every step of the way. But we are not at liberty to go our own way. How many of y'all got the Garmin device in your car or on your phone? You got the Garmin? Amen. You find your current place. Amen. You set the destination and you push go. It plotted out the trail for you to go, and you need to follow the blue line. Amen. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. You need to follow the blue. But how many of y'all think y'all know the city of Cincinnati and it tells you to go and you say, nah, I know a better way. Amen. Amen. I know a better way. I'm going to go my way. I know if I go this way, I can zig and zag and get around all this. I'm going this way. And as soon as you turn, get stuck, get in an accident, get a flat tire, all this stuff, because God trying to show you, stay on the blue line. But even if it is bad ahead of you, God will send you a notice and reroute you. Shut up straight here. I had my GPS come up one time and say, this is a better route. Would you like to take it? I'm like, okay, fine. Pushed it around. Got home. Heard on the news that there was an accident right in front of where I was going. Due to timing. If I'd have stayed on that course, I probably would have been involved in the accident. Sometimes God see what's your future and try to reroute you. But sometimes we don't listen. We don't hear the call of God. We don't hear Him pressing up on us, telling us to go around and go a different route, because we so set in our ways, we stuck in a rut that this is what we like and this is where we're going, this is what we're going to do, and we stay right there and all hell break loose. Until we tell to God, say move, we better learn how to move and do what God called us to do. We got to understand. So the first step in implementing this power from God and this promises is to submit ourselves to the will of God. It's an invitation to step out on faith. Can I get a witness? To say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is an invitation to step out on faith. You're telling God, you know what? I'm going to do what you called me to do. Since you said I can do it and you're going to give me the strength, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do this. I know it may be uncomfortable. It may not be where I'm at right now, but you said God for me to do it. I'm going to do it. Amen. This is a crucial secret in our lives in ministry. If all we ever do is what we could do in our own strength, our life would count for little. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? It wouldn't count for much. Amen. It is the willingness to do what God tells us to do. It is the willingness to do what God tells us to do, relying on His strength that produce results. That's how we get to the next levels in our lives. Years ago, when the Lord called me to preach, my initial response was, I'm no preacher. Hello. I said, I ain't gonna never be my dad. That's what I said. I'm the praise and worship leader. That's my spot. I'm going to play this organ. That's all I'm going to do. Well, Okay, God. I would sit at home and watch how my dad come home and all the work he had to do. I said, I'll never do that. I'm never going to allow people to treat me like that. I'm not going to do that. Church folks, some. Amen. I'm an architect by trade. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to play the organ. That's all I'm going to do. That's it. I'm doing nothing else. But how many of you know God got away? I tried to run one time. I'm out of here. I got a new job offer out of state. I'm gone. I told my dad, I'm leaving, Dad. They calling me. This great job opportunity is out of state, and they're going to come. He said, okay, son. And he just left it alone. Lord Jesus, y'all need to quit praying. But I come to discover that the root of it was my pride. The root was my pride. And I was afraid I wouldn't be able to measure up to the challenge. But now, 30 years later, preaching is a major thrust of my life. How did I bridge the gap? How did I get over the prideful feeling? How did I get up the fearfulness of measuring up to what God had called? I took the risk of being obedient. And I died 1,000 deaths to self. And broke through the barrier of fear and surrendered to the will of God. And God gave me the strength to do what he told me to do. And my dad helped me to understand that. He said, son, if I would have told you to preach, every time you got in trouble, you'll come and blame me. But since you heard the call of God and God called you to preach, every time you get in trouble, you go to God. You don't come to me. And my God, I'm glad God gave my dad that kind of wisdom, because there's some situations that my daddy couldn't help me out of. Only God can. We have to clearly understand, you got to be able to step out in obedience. Even when he told me to leave my secular job. He says, time to leave. Time to leave? I've been there 30 years. I'm ready to retire. What you mean, time to leave? He said, time to leave. Right now, leave. Right now. Where I'm going, I don't know, but leave here. I go home and tell my wife, because that's going to be my escape right there, right there. Because she's a very wise woman. Amen. And I'm waiting for her to give me an answer like, you lost your mind. You better stay right. What you going to? No. I went home and told my wife. She in here today. Amen. I told her. I said, I believe the Lord's telling me to leave my job. She looked at me square in my face. She said, well, I guess you better leave. She didn't ask me what I'm going to do. She didn't ask how we're going to be taken care of. She didn't ask what's going to do financially. She didn't ask nothing. If God told you to leave, you better leave. To God be the glory is correct. Because y'all know the story, Bright Star. Y'all know the story. 2 years after I left, the company went bankrupt. Bankrupt. I was a partner at the time. If I would have stayed, I'd have lost it all. But look at God. I'm trying to help somebody. God will give you the grace to do what he tells you to do. He will give you the tools that you need to build up on your life. He will do all this, but we got to put our faith to the test. Remember when Israel came up to Kadesh? When the 12 spies went out to check the promised land? We talked about it a little bit last week. Amen. Amen. But Caleb understood Paul's statement before he ever wrote it. Caleb understood, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. Caleb knew he was not limited to his own strength. He was looking beyond the challenges to the God who told him to go in and take the land. His confession was, this is what Caleb said. He said, we are well able to overcome it. We can do this because the Lord is with us. Let's look at what he said. Let the word do the work. Let the word do the work. Here he is. Here he is. Listen. Caleb said, if the Lord delights in us, his reliance in the Lord, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. I ain't got to fight. Here, y'all better get some of these little words in your spirit. Y'all been working so hard for this little bit of thing and a little bit of that and a little bit. When God will give you more than you can ever ask for. If you just learn how to submit to his will, he'll give it to you. You got to preach straight on. Give it a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. This is Caleb talking. Since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. And listen what he said. So here I am today, 85 years old, Lord Jesus. I am still as strong today, 85 years old, as the day Moses sent me out when I was 40. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this country. That the Lord promised me 40 years ago. Give it to me. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and had cities were large and fortified. But God. Anybody got some but God in your life? I'm just trying to see who I'm talking to this morning. But God. But God. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Just as he said. What can I learn from what Caleb said? There's three things I'm going to do it real quick. Amen. Number one, God is searching for people who will trust him completely. That's who he's looking for. Caleb been following God all his life through the wilderness for 45 years. He was only two people who survived the wilderness experience. Why? Because he trusted God completely. He understand that the God he served will always keep his promise. He knew that God would be with him in any struggle that he would face. And he knew that if God promised it back then, the promises don't change. Shut up. The promise on your life don't change just because you got a little bit older. If God promised it to you way back then, the promise don't change. Yes, Lord. Number two. God is searching for people who will follow him closely. How close are you to God? How's your relationship? Y'all tight? You tight with God right now? How tight are you? Do you obey every command? Are you that tight? Because he said, if you love me, you'll obey my command. How tight? Do you walk with God every day so that wherever your footstep becomes yours? When we follow God, it allows us to get through the trials and overcome any obstacle. God promised that we may go through some difficulties, but guess what? He's promised to be right there with us. God is searching for people who will rise up to the challenge. Where you at? Are you willing to stand up or do you bow down and sit down on the sideline? Where you at? When the challenges come in your life, where are you at? Where you at? God is searching for people who will rise to any challenge. Caleb knew that. He rose up 40 years ago. Him and Joshua rose up 40 years. Said, we can take them. But they had to go through 40 years. And even 45 years later, Caleb's still saying, I can take them. I know it's giants over there. I know there's some situations over there. But God on my side. Come on now. Huh? You gotta know who you with. You gotta know whose side you on. You gotta know who got your back. You gotta know, if God be for you, who can stand against you? You gotta know some stuff. You gotta know that with God on your side, He can take you through anything. Everybody face challenges and obstacles, but the only question that remains is how tight is your relationship? God never removed challenges, but He goes through them with us. No matter what we face today, God is going to walk through that challenge. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. What else, God? Thou prepares a table before me in the presence. Listen, oh, Jesus. Y'all got to give me at least 5 more minutes. I know I'm going to be a little over, but we're going to get there. Fearless in 2021, even if it gets hard. Verse 19 says this. It's the assurance. It assures us of the supply of whatever you may need. And my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He will provide whatever resource that I may need. Can I get a witness? Whatever I need, God will supply. Y'all, not to mess me up. We got to consider the magnitude of the promise. All your needs, not some, not every now and then, not when you need it the most. All that, you got to consider the magnitude of the promise. All your needs according to the riches, not what you got. You ain't got nothing in your pocket. So you ain't got nothing to even help yourself. You better know where your help come from. Jesus is my help. You got to know. You got to understand. You got to get the power of this. All my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We got to understand. We got to understand. Do you need peace? He'll lead you into peace. Do you need joy? He'll put a smile on your face under the mask. Do you need forgiveness and mercy? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you need deliverance from a habit? Whatever it may be. If it's a bondage, for sin shall have no dominion over you when you're under the grace of God. There's a supply of strength in the grace of God that enables us to overcome evil in any form. Our greatest need is spiritual, and our texts cover every spiritual need in our life. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, then be led by the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit dwell, there is no evil or no harm that can come up against you. It includes our material needs as well. Paul is talking to the Philippians when they gave monetarily to him. He is not able to pay them back in like kindness, but God, he said, God will repay them. We got to understand that when he talked about God repaying them, he said this. He celebrated their gifts to him, saying, I've been filled to the full. Then he said, God will fill you to the full. You see how God works? You give, God give it back to you. I'm trying to help somebody. They helped out Paul. Paul said, cool. Thank you for helping me. To God be the glory. I'm receiving to the full from you. But guess what? God going to give to you to the full. Don't ever think when you give, you're going to be lacking. Can I help somebody? Can I help somebody? The Bible said, and my God shall supply all my needs. How you know that, straight on? Well, David understood that. David understood it. David understood this truth when he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall. Y'all better shut up now. I shall not want. He said, my God will supply all my needs. You know what? Abraham knew about it. He experienced it when he obeyed God, took Isaac up to Mount Moriah for a sacrifice. There God provided a ram in the bush. The boy said, "Daddy, where's the sacrifice? Daddy, I know we're going to build an altar, but we got to have a sacrifice." But the boy didn't fight. He laid him on the altar. He got ready to kill his own begotten son. But yet the angel came lightning fast. Said, "Don't harm the boy." I mean, you know, God always have a ram in the bush. I'm trying to help somebody. God always have a ram in the bush. If you learn how to be obedient, if you learn how to let God fight your battles, God would always have a ram in the bush. Listen, Israel experienced it in the wilderness. When they started complaining, "Lord Jesus, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Moses, why you do all this? It was better if we stayed in Egypt. Lord Moses, you do it. Moses. They complain so much, sound like today, don't they? Just complaining all. Lord Jesus. And then God gave them manna from heaven. Told them every day, gather it up, eat it for the day. But on Friday, I'm going to give you enough for 2 days. So you don't have to work on the Sabbath. Tell me God won't work it out. Some of us know we've been in the midst of a pandemic and we ain't missed a meal. Ain't missed one meal. We done had breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. Amen. I said it last week, we done got the corona fat. Huh? Because we can't go nowhere, can't do nothing. So we just sitting around eating, watching TV. Hulu, amen, streaming, Netflix, amen, amen, HBO Max, amen, we streaming everybody, we done binge watch binge, we done did everything, ain't going nowhere, ain't doing nothing, just stuck in the house. But God still sending manna from heaven. Some of us ain't been to work since March. And God's still dropping manna from heaven every day. I'm trying to help somebody. We got to understand. Hagar, she experienced it when Sarah, who put the ideal out there in the first place, says, "I can't have no baby. You go ahead and have the baby for me." But then when she had the baby, then Sarah finally had her baby. Now she want to hate on the one she told to have the baby in the first place. Went to Abraham. Kick her out, Abraham. Kick her out. Kick out. Now Abraham could have said, "Well, woman, you came up with the scheme, now live with it." But no. He wanna be old. He wanna listen to his wife, wanna make sure he happy life, happy wife. Amen. Amen. Wanna do all that. Amen. Hagar, you got to go and take your child, which is my son. Take him with you. Hagar cried to the Lord. She cried to God, and the Lord provided an angel to lead her to a well of water. All these experiences, the truth of our text, that God will supply. Even if you are a billionaire, you still don't have more than God. God spoke the world into existence. He flung the stars in the sky. He made the water to rise. He made the moon to shine at night. God did that thing. God will not just fill your cup, but your cup will run over. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Malachi 3:10, God says to the tither, "Try me now and see. Put me to the test. Try me. I dare you." God is daring every last one. I dare you to put this truth to the test. "Try me now in this and see if I will not open for you the windows," with an S, not a window, "windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that you won't even have room enough. That little 10% you give me, that little 10%, and I'm still letting you live off the 90, that little 10%, If you just try me with the 10, I'm going to pour you out a blessing. It goes beyond what you can give. It's according to his riches and glory. It will be more than you can contain. It will leave you with plenty to share with somebody else. The only limitation of God's supply is our faith. Never doubt God's ability to supply. I dare you to ask largely. I dare you to ask largely. Because he's a big God. If all I ask God for is stuff I can do, I never get nowhere. He's a big God who cares for your every need. You have not because you ask not. Some of us get scared when we start to ask God for some of the stuff that's on our mind. Ooh. Can I really ask God for that? Can I really? Because that might frighten me. If God was to actually give it to me. You just put your own limitations on God. You spoke it. The power of life and death is where? In your tongue. I ask God for big stuff. I believe him for big stuff. I don't ask him for little stuff. I stop asking God for food. I don't ask God for food. Jesus told me that. Go back and read your Bible. Go back and read Matthew. Why? The Lord know you have needs of those things. He already know. So why are you asking God for something he going to already supply? I'm asking God for some big things. Amen. The big things that I know I can't do on my own power. That when it does happen, I know it wasn't nobody but God. Look. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I've said it before. My kids, when they was in my house, never had to ask me for the basics of life. As a matter of fact, as long as they do their chores, when I got paid, they got paid. Amen. It was just a fact. They didn't have to ask where the meal was coming from. They didn't have to ask where their clothes were coming from. They didn't have to ask if they're going to be heat in the house or air conditioning. They didn't have to ask for none of those things. Because they knew daddy, mama got it. Me being human, and I'm frail, I don't amount to much, can do this. What do you think God, who is awesome and mighty, who can do all things, he can do more than what I can do even on my own? There was times when I shook my head at night, didn't know how I was going to supply, but God came through. Can I get a witness? Paul says, my God shall supply. Paul does not pretend to meet their needs himself. Tell somebody, I can't meet your need. Tell them, I can't meet your need. No, I can't do it. So with these two assurances in hand, we march towards 2021 full of peace and confidence. Nothing can come our way that is beyond God's capacity to enrich us in the midst of all of it. If the time requires strength, God will supply grace needed. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If the economy fails, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Biden and Harris can't do it for you. I'm trying to help somebody. All these folks, they hope was in the re-election or the election of a new president and vice president. Woo, they partied in the streets and everything. I ain't partying. I'm not impressed yet. God brought me through the Bushes, the Clinton. Oh, let me back up. Through the Reaganomics. Amen. Through the Bushes, through the Clinton, through the Bushes, through the Obamas. Hello, hello. Brought me through the Trumps. and going to continue to take me all the way. Because my faith and hope is in God, not in man. It's not in man. It's not in man. It's not in man. We are fearless and ready for tomorrow because our confidence is in the Lord. Not in nobody else. Not in nobody else. This year, be fearless because your confidence is in God. And remember, I'm getting ready to go home. I'm going home. Remember this. If you are worn and weary, he sees you. Pandemic, homeschooling, working from home, tired of Zoom calls, tired of Zooming and Zanging, tired of Google Meets, tired of this, tired of Snapchat, tired of Facebook, tired. God sees you. You're not alone. Hello. You're not alone. Don't get weary in well doing. For at the right time you shall reap a harvest. You're not forgotten. He is with you in your circumstance. You got to remember that. He is working and moving. Hello, somebody. On your behalf. You can find a help and refuge in him. He is that high rock that you can always look to when you're overwhelmed to find your way out. He said, look to the hills from which cometh your help, because my help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Church, he loves you. He loves you. I'm happy that you was here to hear the message today. Those of you at home, glad that you're here today. So be fearless as we journey through this new year. Don't let Satan stop you or block you. Tell the devil to get off your property. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Praise God for all of you today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here in person. Thank those of you who are at home. Listen, somebody might be saying, you know what? I need the Lord in my life. I need to know that Jesus is my help. Jesus said the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He ain't talking about when you die and go to heaven. That's going to happen. He's talking about right here, right now. Right now. If you accept him, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up the door of his heart and let me in, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he will sup with me. In other words, Jesus want to come and be your friend. A friend that will stick closer to any brother. So if you're here today and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, today is your day. You make your way.